listening to Retakes Podcast, your personally hand-picked self-help section for industry animators. I am your host, Danny Abram, and I'm an animator in the UK, working in children's TV, feature films, and indie projects, and I'm here to share with you the hows, the whys, and the actions we can all take to make it in this crazy industry. Everyone, welcome to a brand new week. Woo! How are you? How do you like my new intro? Are we feeling it? I'm sorry, it's taken me so many attempts to record that properly and a million hours of listening to music. But we'll go with this one. We'll do it the Danny way. We'll take action and we will move forward anyway and see how that goes. I'll see what the feedback is like. I have had so many people say, no, bitch, you need music, come on now. So don't say I don't give the people what they want. Let me know if you thought that was any good. So I have a very personal topic to discuss with you today, because it is something that I am currently embroiled in, and that is negotiating. Juicy. I'm currently negotiating for my next project, and it is something that I have to do time and time again, and I'm sure you have had to do this too, or if you don't have too much experience, you might have been through it once and thought, whew, I hope I never have to do that again. But it is a massive part of being a freelance animator, something that comes up at nearly multiple times of year sometimes. Sometimes I can have a very short project, and then I find myself having to negotiate for my next ones, and that can be a couple of weeks or within months, or I have had a lovely run this year of 9 months at the same studio. The negotiated never goes away, so it is something that I think we could all use some tips with. I would absolutely love some tips, so if you have some, write in and let me know. But for now, I can talk to you about what I do nearly every time. Because I've been going through this week, I wrote down what I've been doing, and I recognize the steps that I take because I kind of do this every single time. Now, I am not saying I am the world's best negotiator, and I'm not saying this is exactly what you should do every single time, but I do have a lot of experience with it, and from a lot of different angles as well. I've been on the other side of the negotiating chair, where I have been involved in the hiring process. And there is definitely some things that I have picked up from that and that I have slotted in through advice from other people and reading business books even, and obviously self-help books have really helped with all this. So I thought I would put them all together in one place where we can always come back to it and remind ourselves of the process, so we don't get stuck when it happens. It's not a horrible surprise when someone says, oh, what's your day rate? And you're like, I forgot what my day rate is. I forgot everything I'm worth. Help. I do actually have something saved on my email. I'll talk about this a little bit later on, but when I go through something that does work out really well, I will try and make a note, or I will copy paste that into like an email draft that then I never send. So it's always there in my draft, so I know where I can find it. Trouble is, now I've got like way too many drafts with no titles. So it's not working for me really. So I'm doing this a little bit for me as well, and a little bit so that you can get in on some of this sweet negotiating action, which I am fully taking part in. So I'm coming up on the end of my project. This isn't one of the steps, but I will tell you what happens when I can see the end in sight for something that I've been working on. I like to take my foot off the gas, obviously, when I'm working on something that's a little bit more long-term. So when it does come up towards the end of a project, I do tend to find that as a bit of a surprise. Even though I'm so used to it now, I'm like, oh no, I've got to get back out there. I've got to start telling people I'm looking for work. I've got to start looking for work. That's step number one, right? Well, I've actually noticed a pattern. And I do this every time now. And I don't tend to go looking for work first. The first thing I will do is I will wait till about 4 or 3 weeks out from the end of my contract, and then I will just put a shout out on LinkedIn or Twitter, whichever the one is the one where you get the most engagement or you've got the most contacts in your industry. So if I say LinkedIn, you swap that out for whatever it is that you tend to use for sharing your animations or where you've got the most connections. So it might be Facebook or it might be Instagram. I'm not sure, but LinkedIn is where I usually do it and it's where I tend to have the most success. I've got a massive network on there now, so someone will share it and someone else will see it from the shares that I know work in the animation industry, just because that's the kind of connections I have on there. So I always do put a little shout out about 3 weeks out, and I will say, I'm finishing on my current project and I will be looking for some work soon. If anyone knows any leads, hit me up. There's a autocomplete, I think. If you set yourself on LinkedIn to open to work, I think it does auto-generate a message. I don't like that message. That message is cold and sterile. And when I see other animators sharing it, I feel a little bit sad because I'm like, no, that's like the bare minimum. You didn't even change it to make it sound even remotely like you wrote it. There's nothing wrong with that, but it is something I would never do. So I always tend to change that wording. Whatever it is that it auto-generates, I don't like. I think it just says, hi, network. I am currently open for opportunities. Please reach out, or something like that. It's really personalityless. So I will always change those words to something that sounds like I have actually written it. And it will usually start with something like, hi, friends. I'm coming up on the end of a job and I would appreciate it if you hear of anything going that you think would suit me. Please let me know. Thanks, Danny. You know, something just written by not a robot. Do not let AI or robots take our jobs from us when we have the chance to change it ourselves. Do you know what I mean? So that is the first thing that I will always do. And this isn't even on my, like, my set of tips. This is just something that I've already done because I'm coming up on the end of a project. Get the word out there. And most of the time, that will lead to something. Now, that might just be a new connection. It might just be someone, a friend of mine that I already know and work with, messaging me and saying like, oh, I've heard such and such is hiring, for example. It might not be a hot lead or a warm lead, whatever the business people call them, but it will be something. But sometimes it has actually been a studio reaching out to me based off of that message and saying, we're looking for someone. Why don't you throw an application in here? Here's our email, blah, blah, blah. And that has actually worked out for me and has turned into work. So it is like casting the net in the most bare minimum personal work way possible. Like, I've had to do absolutely nothing. I've put that message out there. It's taken me 2 seconds. Maybe 5 seconds, if that. And it's yielded results. So I will always try that first and see if that brings anything to me. Okay, so my first tip, though, for when you are going to start negotiating, let's say you've put the shout out there and someone's got in touch with you and there's been a little bit of back and forth. You've had an email through, or you've been told to apply somewhere and you've applied and then they've got back to you and negotiation is starting. Now, this is after introductions, potentially after an interview, or potentially after a test. Let's assume that you have done that and you've passed all those things. And we are into negotiation phases. So they have expressed an interest in wanting to hire you, and you have expressed an interest in wanting to be hired by them. And now you are just talking terms. So they have said something like, yes, we'd like to confirm that with you. Could you let me know what your day rate is? Or whatever they've said, and you are now starting to talk money and terms. So my first tip for this, I think you will all have heard the phrase, don't go shopping on an empty stomach, because you make stupid decisions, right? And I feel like this is exactly what I do when I'm negotiating money. Like, I do not negotiate from a place of desperation. Now, this is hard because sometimes you can be feeling desperate. But my way around this, and I do this every time, and I know I've mentioned this before on other episodes, I will write a list of how great I am. That's it. I have to just start collecting information and evidence that I am great and I don't feel desperate. Like, this will pay off because I am a fast worker. I've got all the experience they need. I'm exactly who they're looking for. I am the perfect person for this job. You can do this by writing lists, which I do all the time. I've got like 1,000 pages of tatty notebooks everywhere that might just say, I am great. I am great. I am good. I am perfect for this job. Like, they're everywhere. Or I've started doing this recently, and don't call me crazy. Don't call me weird, but I have recorded myself saying things like, I am worthy. I am enough. I am amazing. I am skilled. And I will play that in my ears. Yes, I am brainwashing myself into feeling enough. Now, you might not have thought of that, or you might have thought of that and dismissed it because it sounds mad. But this is literally how I have picked myself up from crisis care, I would say, all the way back in 2020. When I let myself get so far down the mood scale, and I ended up in crisis care, and I had like the worst, like I am talking rock bottom. I remember lying on a sofa, looking up at the ceiling, feeling really sick, and thinking, I can never, ever let myself get down here again, ever. I will do whatever it takes. I will literally brainwash myself happy if I have to. This is getting a wee bit off topic from just job hunting, but it is definitely something that I have implemented in the last couple of years that has had possibly the most maximum gains. If you go on YouTube and you search for positive affirmations or I am affirmations, there are like literally a million videos that someone else has already recorded that just repeat positive affirmations over and over again and positive mantras to some plinky plonky nice music. And I just made the decision that I would friggin' brainwash myself into happiness if I had to, because I was in such a desperate and lonely and dark, sad place. Honestly think, like, this is the path of least resistance. There are already YouTube videos out there that I can use to, like, fill my brain with positive messages rather than succumbing to the desperation, and rather than succumbing to the low mood, and rather than just letting the negativity of the world infect my current mindset. I haven't got time for that shit. Like, I cannot go back to crisis care. So I do need to do this quite often. And this is what I mean about being in a place of desperation, is that your words and your actions and your mind is desperate. But you can literally change that by brainwashing. Sorry to use the term brainwashing, but like, that's literally what I did. For me personally, it's because it combats the other voice that's in my head that is also in my voice, if you know what I mean. So if I'm telling myself that I'm shit and I'm worthless and I'm stupid and I don't deserve nice things and life is hard and that's what I was born into and that's literally my voice. So I've recorded my voice saying the very opposites of that, and I've just literally brainwashed myself into feeling worthy and enough. And it really, really helps. It really helps with negotiating, and it really helps just day to day, just holding the negativity at bay. And I don't have to do it every day, but now I will definitely, it pops up every now and again where I'm thinking like, ooh, maybe I need to listen to my affirmations again. This sounds like a bit woo-woo, but like, does it? Does it sound weird when, if you have a negative voice in your mind anyway, you might as well record something that is the flip of that and listen to that instead. Why don't you just try that? Why don't you just put that on? Like, I am great. I am worthy. I am enough. Imagine how great you would feel after listening to that for a whole week. Imagine if you'd listened to it for a month. Imagine the difference it could have. And it is such a small action to take. Literally listening to something. I listen to things all day long. Mostly true crime. Which says a lot. But I combat all that true crime with happy affirmations. It sounds so simple, but it really, really works. There must be some science behind it. I'll try and find some, and maybe we can talk about it like this specifically in another episode if it floats your boat, because, whoo, it floats mine. But yeah, maybe I can find some science for you. So don't go shopping on an empty stomach. Do not negotiate from a place of desperation, and that is so easy to change. You can just start listing how great you are. Even if you just spend the first 5 minutes before you write the answer back in the email, just imagining that you're the perfect person for this job, you've got to put yourself in that non-desperate seat. You have got to try something. Do not reply from a place of desperation. Okay, number two, it is not a trap. It is literally a negotiation. So this comes up sometimes with my mentees, and I am in a couple of animation groups, and I'm in a couple of groups with book illustrators and stuff, like just artist groups on the internet. And the amount of times I see the words like, what if it's a trap? And I know, I remember how that feels like. So I'm not laughing. I know what this feels like. It feels like they have come to you and asked you how much you are or how much you're expecting for this role. And they're, for some reason, hoping that you're going to say something so ridiculous that they can then run away laughing and tell everybody that Danny Abraham thinks she's worth £250 a day. Are you kidding me? So they've just got that information from me, so then they can go run away and laugh about it. I can't tell you. I don't know where this has come from. I don't know how we've managed to perpetuate it, but it is, nothing could be more further from the truth. The last time I was negotiating for the job that I'm currently just finishing up on, there was a lovely producer that I was obviously negotiating with. She was asking me what my day rate was. I said it. She came back with a different number. I was like, absolutely not. And I remember making it all about me in the moment, and making it very personal was a really easy thing to do. And it is something that, like, I do have to constantly check myself on or fight against. Now, she wrote some words back to me that was something like, our rate for the seniors is this. And I remember thinking, well, then your rate is wrong. Like, how could you think that? Like, how, like, but that's not the going, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I instantly, like, riled against this wording because it was almost like it was a set thing and there was no going any higher because of this. That she stated it like it was a fact. That's what I'm trying to get out of myself. Sorry, I'm tripping over my own words. But so she stated this like it was a fact. And I remember thinking, how could you be so wrong? Or something like that. And I was doing the same thing back to her that then I felt she was doing to me. And that was like making it personal. So I was thinking like, well, you're wrong, lady. Not that the whole studio is what set the system up. And she is just replying as a conduit to that set of rules. So later on, when I did land on something that I was happy with, and we can talk about that later, I then got to know her really well, obviously because I was working for her, and we are so similar and we could be such good friends. It was so funny because, like, this was the lady at the beginning that I was negotiating with, and I was like projecting all this, like, my inner anguish onto, and etc. I'm imagining that she's a certain type of person. And then it turned out she's like, of course not. She's a human being and we could be good, amazing friends. She makes me laugh so much and I love her. And she doesn't even work for that studio anymore. She's gone somewhere else. So it wasn't in any way personal. Of course it wasn't. When I say that out loud, it's so silly. How many times am I saying this on this podcast? Like, I say it out loud and it sounds so silly. But at the time, you do tend to get caught up in the trap of taking everything personally and thinking this is it forever. And yet I've got nothing but evidence that, like, everything is constantly in flow. There is always going to be changes. Like, the next time I come to negotiating, even if it is with this lady, it will be nothing like the last time. Everything's changing. It's not a trap. It's literally a negotiation. So they have already decided they wanted you. Otherwise they wouldn't be asking. It is more work for them to trap you and laugh at you. Like, they want to know so that they can come to some sort of deal so they can sign you up as quick as possible. That is all this is about. Number three, have a template, remove the emotion. Now, this is something that I forget to do quite often, but I do have a template. I have a template because I've done this so many times and I've saved them into my email drafts. Then I just go into that email draft and copy paste what I've said before that worked and paste it, and it will work again, if you know what I mean. And doing that removes the emotion. So when I just talked about how negotiating with, like, someone else, you can sort of start to make it about who you are as a person and who they are as a person. But that is not the case. And I am here to tell you that is not the case. I promise it's not. I have a really good friend called Lauren, and she told me to treat it like a game once upon a time. This is a long time ago. She told me this, and I've never forgot those words. Like, it's just a game, and it's almost as if they are NPCs, and you're just looking for the right combination of buttons, the right combination of things to say to move on to the next stage of the game, which is then employment. So you can just try something by removing the pressure that this is going to end the interaction. Or, like I said before, you're feeling like it's a trap when it's not. But if you have a template, this is so much easier. So if you have, where we talked last week about proof of success, if you have some success in other, like in the other studios that you've worked for where something worked, just go back, have a look at what you said. It will all be in your email. Don't tell me it's not. Don't tell me you delete emails. It will be there. There will be something that you could then use. You pluck out those wording and use that as a framework for the next time that you have to negotiate somewhere. My fella also works in animation, and we were talking about this like at length a couple of years ago, and I can't remember which job it was for. I think because we both had to, we had a year where we wanted to buy a house, and we really had to concentrate on finances. And so we were both helping each other get as much as possible in as quick amount of time as possible in the best possible way. And what I mean by that was, I think I was negotiating to be freelance rather than on the payroll because there's differences. Sorry if that's really boring. But at the time, we came up with a template that we could just copy paste to the companies we were negotiating with that said about just our life circumstances at the moment dictate that we need to keep our finances freelance. It was just one sentence, but it really, really helped, because instead of panicking about asking a studio, can you treat me a little bit differently than what you're saying? Because I need this because of this. I just copy-pasted that sentence, and it worked every time because of course it did. The person who I am negotiating with was also a human being that could understand why I would ask that question. It's a request. It's not a ridiculous request. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not, I'm not asking something unreasonable. I'm just asking a question. And the way I did that, the way I made that easier for myself, was just copy-paste from a template that I had written with someone else. So it kind of felt like I had some support in the moment. Do you know what I mean? So start higher. So number four, start higher than you want to land. Obviously. So this is old school business advice now, isn't it? Like, this is old school bartering and negotiating advice, but it is always that you start higher than where you want to land, so that then you can, if you do get pulled down, if the negotiations go southwards, you will still be within a range or a bracket that you are happy with. And the way I do this myself personally, I tend to just stick 50 quid on the day rate and see what happens, because there's nothing stopping me from doing that. There's nothing emotional about it. It's a nice arbitrary number that I've just plucked out of years of experience. It's not a million miles away from what they're expecting anyway, and I know that from working in similar studios in similar regions, etc. But it's something that I can just do automatically, and I know that where I will end up landing will be where I want it to be anyway. Now, this doesn't work in every scenario. Sometimes they come to you with a number first. I find that quite rare, but sometimes some studios will have the budget very set. We cannot negotiate. It's going to be this. Can you do it for this? And then it's up to you whether you can be happy with that. And also sometimes you can just get the vibe. And this is a little bit harder to pin down, but sometimes I will get vibes from an email chain or vibes from a person where I think negotiating is kind of off the table, and anything that I do go in with, it's almost sort of, can I square that with myself if this goes horribly wrong, if you know what I mean? Let me try and think of an example of that. Yeah, okay, so a couple of Christmases ago, I got contacted really late into December asking if I would work 10 days on a Christmas project that they wanted to get out of the door before Christmas. And this was like a London studio, so I thought, I was rubbing my mitts together like, yeah, sure, I could cram that in 10 days, no problem. You better be paying way high for December. I was currently just finished on Quentin Blake's Clown, so I was free, but I was very tired. And I had a bad shoulder, like I'd really hurt my shoulder. And Quentin Blake was so fulfilling and so perfect and so wonderful. And it finished really early December. And I thought, oh, I'll just have December off. That'll be perfect. I'll just have a little bit of a rest. And the money I made on that was absolutely fine. And I thought, cool, I'll end the year there. And then this little cheeky Christmas project came in. And I was in a position of absolute power because I wasn't desperate. And I had already decided I didn't need it. And I thought, great, okay, I'll do it if it's really high. And so I sent them off my day rate thinking, this is the highest thing I've ever asked for. I think it, so that if you want some full disclosure, oh, I'm going to be sick. Don't say it, Danny. Don't say it. So my highest day rate up to that point was 250. And I was thinking, I'll just sky high it from there and hope for the best. And they came back with, we actually have a really fixed budget and we can only do it for this. And I think it was 150 a day. This is a couple of years ago, 150. And let me tell you, listeners, the speed at which I said, that's a shame, no worries then, thanks, bye, was so fast and so comfortable. Like, they just, that those words just left my fingers. It was so amazing. And up until that point, I did, I think, get vibes that that was the kind of thing that would happen, especially when a company comes to you so close to a deadline and says, we need a lot of work very quickly. Like, is that not the ultimate red flag? And then for them to not yield on a very small day rate for something that needs to be so quick. And I felt like as well, I got vibes that like, I would be working weekends as well. This just happened to be on a really good year where I was like, nah, I don't want it. If that happened when I was a little bit more desperate, maybe I would have gone, that's quite low for what you're expecting. Could we meet somewhere in the middle? Or could we not? If you make it closer to this number, then I might consider it, etc. Like, there's still a way forward, even if I was desperate. Do you know what I mean? There would still be a way forward. But at the time, I was so happy to start higher than where I wanted to land and bail when that went not the way I was expecting it to go. Okay, so with all that in mind, and let's keep in mind as well the fixed day rate, the low day rate, I've put my number five tip is consider all your own values. So sometimes a studio might not have any budget that is in any way near where you're after. Like, you've started high because you've got this like ballpark figure in mind where you want to land, but they might not be coming anywhere near that. And there could be other things at play there for you that sweetens the deal. And this is where I mean by consider your values. So if you've worked for them before and you had a lovely time, does it matter that they are £50 less? If you love the project and you think that that would be a big step up for you in another way. So like for me, if I look back over my timeline, if say, for example, something was hand-drawn and that's where I was desperate to place myself, but the day rate wasn't quite where I'd had in mind. Was there other benefits such as, well, I will get this beautiful piece of animation that then I can use later on to get more work of that same vein? I'm not asking you to settle. I am just asking you to consider, are there other values there at play? So I'm not saying studios are right and you are wrong and you need to find something else to love. I'm just asking that on a case-by-case basis, that does this particular offer tick other boxes? And therefore, you can be happy where you settle? Like, because it's not free. I'm not saying work for free. We're obviously talking about negotiating. And if, like, say, for example, that Christmas project, they said 150 a day and they wouldn't go higher. Let's say that the job had other perks to it, such as I would have, I can't think of a really good example, but like something that would have been like a hero animation in my showreel, or something where I could be like, I would be so proud to work on that, that I think it's worth taking the hit. There must, or it's for someone that I love already. So like, I hadn't worked at this studio, but let's just say it was, I don't know, my friend's studio, and I think they're bloody great. And I just think, well, if that's all you've got, 150 a day, no worries, I'll do it because I love you. Do you know what I mean? There's power in considering all the other values. And last point, number six, practice. Practice, practice, practice. I get my mentees to email negotiations to me, and I will fake negotiate back and see how they react and see what they write, just because practicing is the easiest way to make it all comfortable when it does come along. So if you want to email retakespod@gmail.com with an offer, and we can practice your negotiating tips, I am very happy to do that for you. Because there's no such thing as too much practice. You're only going to get better and better and more comfortable. And sometimes it's not about being better. Sometimes it is literally just about finding it more comfortable to go through and do. It's a process. It's a dance. We have to do it anyway. We might as well make it as comfortable and as easy on ourselves as possible, I say. Now, there is a difference between doing the dance that everyone expects and complete and utter time wasting. And I really wish studios would get this memo sometimes. Sometimes I have done a whole heap of jumping through hoops and looking through Bibles and maybe even completing a test. I mean, I don't think... Yes, this did happen to me one time. God, this is horrible. One time I did even do an animation test for a studio that I never heard of before. I thought that my showreel displayed literally everything they were looking for. But I did the test anyway because, who am I to say that tests should die? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's, I've got a whole heap of thoughts about that anyway. And I did an interview, and it was weeks and weeks and weeks of negotiating and time and emails this and emails that. And then they came back to me with a day rate that was so unexpected that I was thinking this was a massive waste of both of our times. And if you just opened with that, I could have... Sorry to be sound big-headed, but like I could have just rejected that and then saved myself a load of work and saved you a load of admin and everything will be fine, because it really did seem like they weren't going to budge anyway. Like, there was enough red flags for me to know that like that number was sort of what they were looking to settle on. I can't remember what it was, but it was like it wasn't just the dance we were doing. It then turned out to be a massive waste of everyone's time. Do you know what I mean? And I think going like, I think that's put in mind that maybe I should ask way earlier along the process than I then did do up until that point. Like, what is the harm in saying, that sounds absolutely great, before I look at this, could you just let me know what the rate for this role would be? What is the harm of that? You just sound proactive and business as fuck. Right? Surely. So next time I'm going to try that. So there is a difference between doing the dance and then time wasting. You'll know because it feels like a waste of your time too. When you're doing things like, when you're doing a whole heap of work and you think you haven't even started negotiations yet and you feel like it's too much, if you're feeling like this is too much, then maybe send that email quickly, because it will then halt the process. Because if you're getting red flags at that stage, maybe it's a good thing. I have a mantra as well that always helps me out when like, so for right now, I am looking for work and it is terrifying, but is it terrifying? This is my mantra. It always works out. It always works out. When I look back over my career history, even in the biggest lulls and the darkest of times, something has come along. Something has happened. It always works out, and then I'm working again. All you need is one to bite. And you are back in work. It has always worked out. There are always jobs, and there will be something for you too. It will work out. I promise. It's like, I don't know how, I know you're thinking, how can you promise that? But I've got nothing but evidence that it will work out. So maybe that will help you. Okay. Happy negotiating, everybody. I hope this was really helpful. I hope that maybe there's something in there that you can try in your own negotiations as well. And it's definitely something that I would like to get back to and do some more work on. I think I will rewrite my template maybe this afternoon. Who knows? So I hope that was helpful. And if you did find that helpful, I would really appreciate it if you could let me know at RetakesPod on Instagram, RetakesPod at Twitter, and RetakesPod@gmail.com. If you ever feel like firing me an email about something other than why don't you have music, that would be lovely. That would be great. Okay, happy animating, everyone. Have a great week, and I will see you next Monday. Bye.